Luke 2:15, when the angels left them and went away into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." You may be seated. Christmas Eve. All the excitement, all the anticipation. Just the opposite of what it must have been like for those shepherds in the hill country outside of Bethlehem. That first Christmas Eve must have started out for them just like any ordinary night, as they did what they had done so many times before, living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks. Probably about all that they anticipated was being cold in the night and tired in the morning. Little did they know. But they soon found out. First one angel, and then more than anyone could count, speaking to the shepherds and singing to God. In an instant, that ordinary night became a holy night. In that instant, God changed everything. I'm not so sure the shepherds were fully aware of what all that meant, though. But they were certainly aware of the fact that something important had happened. They wanted to know more about it. Luke tells us that after the angels left, the shepherds said, "Let's go to Bethlehem, check this out." Although I wonder if that was a unanimous decision from the very beginning, or if maybe there were one or two of them that kind of hesitated and needed to be persuaded. I think that's certainly possible, don't you? I can see the younger, more impetuous shepherds saying, "Let's go!" And the more stubborn ones holding back. Let's call the stubborn ones, Heinrich and Fritz. Not for any particular reason. Well, I have heard that Germans can be stubborn, especially German shepherds. All right. Yeah, I haven't used that one for a while. It used to get a better laugh. I don't know, maybe it's getting old. But it's possible, don't you think? That maybe one or two needed to be persuaded. And can't you just hear the ones out in front calling to those that were lagging behind, "Come on, let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem." The question that I'd like each of us to ask ourselves tonight is, am I more like the shepherds out in front, or am I more like Heinrich and Fritz? How about it? Are you hesitating tonight? Not so sure you want to fully commit to this thing? You need to be persuaded? I'm willing to give it a try. Come on, let's go. Let us go to Bethlehem. Let's join those shepherds on their journey to see the Christ child. Why would we do that? Oh, we know why the shepherds went. The angels told them to. And if an angel told us to go, we'd do it, wouldn't we? Of course, that hasn't happened. No angel has spoken to us. But did you notice that the shepherds didn't really mention the angel? They talked about the one who had sent the angel. Remember their words? "Let's go to Bethlehem to see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And what the Lord told them about was the birth of the Savior, which is exactly what he's told us about. So, come on, let us go to Bethlehem to see this child. No, to see the Savior. Of course, I know that that's not the only reason why people will journey to Bethlehem in spirit again this night. Some will go this Christmas because that's what they've done every Christmas. It's a wonderful family tradition. It just wouldn't be Christmas if we didn't go to church and hear the Christmas story and sing the Christmas carols and let ourselves be carried back in time to that little town of Bethlehem. For others, Christmas is a very sentimental time of year. There's nothing more sentimental than a tiny baby. Except Christmas isn't really about a baby. It's about the love of God, which prompted him to become that baby. The greatest thing about that night isn't really what God did then, as miraculous as that is, but why he did it. Simply because he loves us. For no other reason. None whatsoever. Come on. Let us go to Bethlehem to see this Savior. To see in visible form the amazing love of God. And when we get there, what do you suppose we'll do? Well, you know what the shepherds did. Or at least we think we know. The Bible doesn't actually say. It reports what the shepherds did before they went to Bethlehem and after they had been there. Doesn't say a single word about what they did at the manger. We think we know because we've seen it in the nativity scenes and on the Christmas cards and we've heard it in Christmas carols. Tell the truth now. You think that when the shepherds got to the manger, they fell to their knees in worship, don't you? I do. The nativity scenes and Christmas cards and carols, they have it exactly right. The shepherd's response isn't recorded in the Bible because it doesn't have to be. It's so obvious. What else would they have done? They worshiped that baby because this was no ordinary baby. God was in that manger. And they knew that just as surely as we all know that there are presents under the trees in our homes. And even as I can predict with absolute certainty what's going to happen to those presents, either tonight or tomorrow morning, so also we know what those shepherds did on that holy night. They fell to their knees and they worshiped. Now, what form that worship took, I don't know. Maybe they laughed and shouted. Maybe they silently praised God. Maybe they prayed. Maybe they burst into song. Maybe they were too awestruck to do much of anything at all. I don't know. But they worshiped the Savior. Of that I'm sure. And I'll bet they worshiped him more fully than they had ever worshiped before. Come on. Let us go to Bethlehem. Let us worship the Savior. Really worship him. Maybe more than we've ever done before. I don't mean sing louder and louder, although I'm all for that. But I mean to fall on our knees at the wonder of it all. In awe of what God has done for each one of us. Maybe to laugh, maybe to shout, maybe to sing, maybe to pray, maybe to silently and quietly praise God. Whatever. However, just to come before him with our heartfelt worship and praise. Now, I don't know, maybe that would be a relatively new experience for you. Maybe you don't consider yourself to be a very spiritual person. Well, if that's the case, I'm guessing you'd fit right in with our shepherd friends. Sometimes we have a rather romanticized notion of what shepherding was like back then. We shouldn't. It was hard work, dirty work, dangerous work. And the kind of men who did that work were not usually what you would call spiritual. And I doubt if they had spent much time at all on their knees worshiping God. But when they went to Bethlehem, those rough coarse men worshiped Jesus. And if they did, anyone can, even us. So come on, let's worship the Savior. Let's worship him with all that we are worth. And when we do that, we will be changed. The shepherds were. As a result of their journey to Bethlehem, their lives would never be the same again. Well, just imagine, they had seen God. And not only had they seen him, they had actually and physically touched him. And that changed them. Now they were spiritual people, filled with the Spirit of God. Now they wanted more than anything else to worship him. Once they had gone to Bethlehem, their lives were completely changed. They were no longer shepherds. Well, I mean, maybe they still earned a living by taking care of sheep, but calling them shepherds, well, that would no longer describe who they were or define what they did. Now they lived to give glory to God. Once they had gone to Bethlehem, they couldn't help but tell others everything they had seen and heard. Once they had gone to Bethlehem, they lived to praise God with their lips and to glorify him with their lives. So come on, let us go to Bethlehem to see the Savior, to worship him, to be changed by him. That's what happens to those who go to Bethlehem. That's what will happen to us again this night. Come on, let's go to Bethlehem. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.